Folks, I trust and pray that you come today looking for a blessing, because truly that's what I'm seeking, looking for a blessing. I come here today. What are you looking at me that way for, Varun? Varun's looking at me like he's maybe I'm in a foreign language or something. I trust today that you come looking for a blessing, because truly you are in the Lord's house, and He's got a blessing for each one of us that comes seeking it. He gave us an acrostic for it, ASK, A-S-K, ask it should be given unto you, knock and you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. This morning, if you have a copy of God's Word, we're going to open up with the book of Galatians today, chapter number 1. Don't forget, we do start revival tonight, and as you see, I've got people behind me. And it is always this way on Sunday nights and also during the revival. Everybody in the church sits back here and we still have room for more. I'm imploring you. I beg you. I beseech you. I ask you, if you will, come back. Nobody in here, and you listen to me, this is a true statement if I've ever told one. Nobody in here is without a need of a spiritual awakening. Nobody in here is above an old-fashioned, heaven-sent, Holy Ghost stirring. Some of you need it as a measure of comfort, because in the last little bit, you've suffered grief. And you need God to fill you up, just restore you to the joy that you had in your salvation. Some of you need an old-fashioned, Holy Ghost convicting spirit to come inside of you that you might be saved. Some of you are going to need a chastening rod of correction. Brother Kenny got on that just a little bit about the Anderson Youngs and how they got their legs striped. I don't know who was the meanest, but if I was a gambling person, I got one or two good suspects. But anyway, we won't bring anybody's name up. Well, I don't want to embarrass Tim. But anyway, it's so good to be here today. I want to preach a message with the Lord's help today about the need of the late day church in revival. So I want you to think about that, the need of the late-day church in revival. We're living in a late-day church. It's later now than it's ever been. I don't care if you're a Scientologist and you hold that the earth is billions of years old, or whether you believe the Bible and you believe that she's several thousand years old. And I don't care what position you take on a gap theory or whatever. I don't care. It doesn't really matter to me. Brother Kenny, we're later in time than we've ever been. We're even at the door of the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I really don't believe in that rapture, preacher. I don't believe in a calling away. I don't believe. And that's fine. If you choose not to believe that, walk down to the behind the building, and when you look out across there down toward the playground, you'll see some little granite markers. There are probably people down there that didn't believe in one either, but they're just as gone. And they're just as standing before a holy God one day, either at the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment. Because there is a judgment coming for every one of us. The Bible teaches that, that we have an appointment. For is it appointed unto a man wants to die, then after this, the judgment. So I want to talk about this need for revival in the late day church. I suffered a loss in my office that I work at last year. Many of you know, if you've been around here any length of time, you know that I had an employee that got killed. And I'm a manager. I'm a postmaster by day, and I have rural carriers. And every single day, I run 7 routes out of our office. And those 7 carriers are going everywhere. One of them's first stops to West Wilkes Medical Center, way up 421. I've got one that goes over into Caldwell County. We meet Lenore over at Greenfield, back this side of Thorncliff. We've got people that go over to Lenny's Mill, and we've got people that go over to Sugarloaf. So from my little office, we're carrying a great big expanse of territory, and one of my carriers ended up losing her life in an on-the-job related accident last year. A car crossed the center line and hit her, and it took her out. And in her death brought something that caused me to see a picture of revival. Somebody, and it could have been somebody from in here, I don't know where it come from, the card wasn't signed, but somebody sent us a big old potted plant, and that thing's so pretty. It's still sitting on the counter. Some year and a couple months later, it's still sitting on my counter. But I go by that plant, and it's still thriving right now. It's been yellow. It's been brown. I need you down there, Miss Vicky. It's a dadgonia or something. I don't know what the, I don't know, begonia, dadgonia, or peonia, or something. It's a pretty green plant. It might be a peace lily for all I know, but whatever it is, it's sitting on my counter. And Brother Kenny, sometimes I go by there, and if I hadn't paid attention to a while, I'll go in there, and every leaf on that plant. Ginger, you look when you come in there. You got a box over there where you get all your checks. So when you come in there, you look sometimes that plant, every leaf on that plant. It's a big old plant, about that wide and about that tall. Every leaf on that plant will be laying flat on the counter. It could be because my air conditioning was out this week and it was about 84 in there all week, and that might be why she's wilted down. But Brother Kenny, I got to thinking about that, and every time I go by that plant, I thought, in Helen's death, I've got life because somebody brought me a living plant into my office. And I go by there. You say, what's this all about? Once in a while, that plant, it needs some attention. And much like that plant, Brother Tim, once in a while, all your leaves are drooping. Once in a while, your spiritual countenance is just depleted. And I mean, you're laying on the counter. You're poured out like water. You're poured out like wax. And you just need something. And whenever I go by there and I see that thing like that, I generally go back there and I'll get me a cup of water. And I'll go in there and I'll just pour it right at the base of that thing. And I'll fill it up really good. And within just a few hours, those leaves, Brother Kenny, have picked themselves up off the counter. And then the next morning when I come in, that thing looks like it's all tall and erect and it looks like it's going to thrive again. And that's the way we are, my friends. Sometimes we just need a little water. You say, well, what is water? Well, I can show you in the scripture where water many times is representative of the Holy Spirit of God. And sometimes whenever I see you drooping or I see you sagging, I see me sagging or drooping, the Lord puts it upon our heart to have a revival. And that's what we're getting ready to embark upon this week. Does Brother Penley have revival? No, but he's got the Lord and he's got a Bible and he'll bring that Bible and he'll bring that the sword of the Word of God and he'll bring that. He'll cut off some of the dead limbs. And as it is on the brushes, I go up there once in a while and I've got blueberry friends up there, the Broad Fruers, they've got a blueberry orchard. I've got the TV Paws and Gray Fall. They've got apple and peach orchards. And I've got a lot of friends up there that are orchardists, but they go every year and they cut those things back. They cut it right back to the, it looks like it's never going to bear fruit again because they cut all those low hanging limbs off and they cut that thing back. And man, next year you got a bumper crop. So as it is with us, you say, well, I thought we had one in the spring and we had one in the fall. God threw that thing out the window for me a long time ago. We've been in those churches. Brother Kim, the last church that I pastored, they always put it in there. It was the first Sunday after the first whatever, and we had a scheduled revival. I've not done that here at this church because I want to have revival when God wants us to have one, not just because it's a certain calendar day. We did not have one early in the spring. We had a little mini revival early in the year, but we didn't have one. And it's too long to wait until October or November to have a revival. So God has given us this midsummer back to school bash, this revival to help us. And I believe it'll help you. I really do. If you don't know Brother Penley, that's all right. He's the one God put upon my heart. Some man asked me, is Brother Penley a good preacher? I said, I don't know if he is or not. He's the one God said to get, so I got him. You take it up with God. And that's all I need to know. So let's stand and give reverence to the reading of God's Word. And I just want to preach about the need of a late day revival. And we surely need one. Is anybody here today that is so close to God that they don't? Please come up here and I'll give you the microphone. I'll turn this one on and you can tell us the secret of your success. If there's anybody here right now, say, I don't need revival. I'm as close as I've ever been. I'm closer than I ever was. And I don't need a revival. Anybody like that? I'll yield the pulpit. Honestly, Brother John, is that you? You living closer than you? Anybody? Miss Lori, you want to come down? Miss Beth, praise the Lord. She was in the hospital this week, and here she is in here. Praise the Lord for her good health and being back at church. Brother James, you got a message? You got anything? Brother Kippy, you live that close to God? Brother Scott, you take it. You need revival? The church at Galatia, they had problems early on. It was a great church, but they kept trying to go back and mingle some of their former ways into it. Listen, when God sets you free, he sets you free. Don't try to mingle your past into the current and just get away from that. But I'm going to read maybe verses number 6 through 9, and then there's another place in the passage of 2 Corinthians that we'll go to in just a little bit. But and there are many places. I mean, I've got my Bibles all pinned up. Paul said, I marvel. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 6. I heard a few pages. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed. Just while you're there, turn back one page. Turn back one page. You should then be sitting in the book of 2 Corinthians. If you turn one page, are you now in 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. And I will read four verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. I still hear pages. That wasn't real hard. Chapter 11, verse number 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now hear this verse. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. For though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. Brother Kenny, ask God to bless us, my friend, if you don't mind, sir. Amen. As you're being seated now, has it ever been a time such as we live in? I mean, in the workplace, and you kids can check it out at your school place, and you can check it out in most churches. You can check it out in your social media. You can check it out at Walmart. But isn't the whole world all right? I mean, really, but Greg, you ask the world, everybody's okay. Everybody's all right. Everything's all right. How's your church? Everything going good. Everything's all right. What's your Bible do y'all use? We use the best one. Which one do you use? The latest one. And everything's just okay. Every piece of music's okay. It doesn't matter what kind of music, if it's coming down the line, people just, as Brother Derek used the term in our Sunday school class, they bite like a carp on a dough ball. It's hook, line, and sinker. They just swallow it in. It's come what may. It really doesn't matter. How do y'all baptize over there? Well, we sprinkle. Well, we dunk. Whatever. Got to get them wet one way or the other. It's all right. As long as they're wet, they're all right. Well, what denomination are y'all? Well, we're not. We're a non-denomination. Oh, what are y'all? We're Pentecostal. We're Lutheran. We're Catholic. We're Baptist. We're Baptist. We're this. We're that. Well, as long as you're going somewhere, it's all the same. But it's got all of this stuff right now has got the late day church in an utter state of confusion. I'll just be honest with you. People are confused about their doctrine, and maybe that's why God is running us through the Wednesday night series on major Bible doctrines. Let me just tell you, the late day church is in a mess. The late day church as a whole, bless God, we are not descendants of Roman Catholicism, okay? There's not one ounce of Catholic blood in my body. We're not in Catholicism. I'm not your spiritual leader in that. I am a bishop or I am a cardinal. I'm surely not the Pope. I don't trust in the Pope. I don't go the way of Catholicism. He sits there in his little papal place, and that's the term they use for papal nuncio, the Pope, being of the Pope, and I'm just not given to that mess. The Bible said that the deeds of the Nicolaitans, that God hated that structure or that hierarchy. He does not enjoy that. He takes no pleasure in that. Bless God, I'm an independent, a fundamental, old-fashioned, gospel-preaching Baptist preacher. And bless God, you said you're independent. I'm dependent on God and God alone. I'm independent of any other associations or any other believers. Bless God, when you yoke up and you get in an association, you align yourself with their way of thinking. You align yourself with their theology. If they go with this, then you got to go with that because you're closely aligned to it. No, we we can go ahead and follow our own drumbeat up here. But it doesn't matter if you take up the Lottie Moon or you follow Awana's or you follow all these other different programs and you got two or three different main offerings that you take up. Let me tell you, we are in a mess, Brother Kenny, because everybody's got some different opinion and some different doctrinal teaching that they'll go back to. But bless God, this right here is your final authority. This is it. I mean, you ought to trust this. If it's good enough for me to trust that I'm going to go to heaven based upon the writings of it, I ought to trust it with every other facet of my life. I ought to trust it in every way to raise children by, to trust my marriage will be blessed by this book, that this church will be led by the right teachings of this book. I mean, the Lord sent us a message today as to why we might need a late day, a spiritual awakening or a late day revival. And I'm going to show you some of the problems. If you've got your Bible, go with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, I'm not abandoning the other gospel or another Jesus principle, because we're going to get into that just a little bit from now. I read you the scripture from Galatians chapter number 1, verses number 1 through 6 through 9, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 11, maybe verses 1 through 8. And I want to get back to that, another Jesus or another gospel, in just a little bit. But right now, I want to show you some of the problems of the late day church. If God will help me for just a little bit. And I believe what he's doing today is God's trying his best to get us to become submissive unto his word today, that we might be able to receive the revival services and the message that God's wanting to send us. I believe that's what he's doing today. I believe it, and many of y'all are not as old as I am and may not know, but I grew up, Brother Robin, you remember that old pump that Grandpa had, and you go out there and you pump that thing and it ain't got, it's not doing anything. Why? Because it ain't got any, Brother Tim's all over it over here. Brother Robin, what do we have to do? We go out there, you take that old thing, you start pumping on that handle. It didn't do anything, Brother Tim. But what you always kept right there by the well, Brother Robin, you kept a gallon jug of water or a bucket of water. And when you started doing that thing, Brother Kenny, what would you do? You'd pour a little water down her. What were you doing? You was priming the pump. And bless God, maybe what this message today is trying his best to pour a little water on us today and prime the pump of revival, Brother Kenny, that God can get a hold of us and bless us in these next six meetings. I'm excited about it. You said, do you love this man? I do love this man. But I don't care if it was him, or him that was preaching God's word tonight, or the one that God's got coming. God sent him, and I don't doubt that. So I want to be here to enjoy it. I want to be here to be able to get. But I want to show you some of the common problems and some of the problems in the need of the late day church. The book of Ecclesiastes. You don't know where it's at? Go to Psalms. Go to Proverbs. Go to Song of Solomon. You'll find Ecclesiastes just thereafter. But in Ecclesiastes chapter number 6, in verse number 1, the Bible says that there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. Now, if this problem is common among men, is it not common in the day of the writer? Is it not also common in the late day church? You better believe that she is. And here's the story as is foretold by the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes. It said, a man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. Did you read along with me? The Bible said that God, in this late day, has given us something that is common to man. The first thing that is common to man is that of wealth. Churches do it. People do it. And then they get into this good health, good wealth thing. Brother Dennis, as long as everything's going good, I'm healthy, I'm fine, I don't need anything. But let the first problem come along, and man, they go all to pieces, and they're calling for everybody to go pray for me. You don't see them 19 out of 20 Sundays, but the first time something goes wrong, they're the first one squalling wanting prayer. Bless God, you can pray for yourself, Brother Kenny, if you'll keep that access that we preached about Wednesday night, and you'll keep that prayer line open, Brother Kenny, you yourself can walk right before God and get help. But in the late day church, the church, here it is, it said there's a common thing among us, And he said he's given us wealth. Why? And what happens beyond that is that people no longer have a need. They don't see a need for their soul. Read that verse again. It said, a man to whom God hath given riches and wealth and honor. Let's not leave honor out. People get a little vaunted in themselves. They get a little prideful. They think, man, we're the best and we don't really need anything. They'll look at a church down the road that's struggling, Bill, and they'll think, man, that church, they need something. But bless God, we better turn our eyes right toward ourselves. We need God in here, and we need a blessing from a heavenly thrice holy God, brother Scott, to stir us up, because we're just like these churches that have all things common. He said, that man, that church, that people that has this thing in common, said it's common among men, a man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul. Now, I didn't write that. I just read it. He said he needs nothing for his soul. Does that not sound just a little bit like the seventh out of seven churches which were in Asia Minor? Are y'all all right today? Well, Joe, you all right? You awake? The last day church is the church of the Laodiceans. And what did that church say? Y'all know your Bible. I'm like I'm preaching among strangers here today. God help us. The late day church, Brother Kenny, the Laodicean church, they said that we are rich and we are increased with goods and that what? We have need of nothing. Now, God said that. God sent it to the angel of the church at Laodicea to tell them that, but knowest not that thou art blind and miserable and wretched and naked. He said, I caused you, try me. He said, you're neither hot nor cold. Brother, are we not there? I better preach this message and get out of here. Honestly, I feel like a stranger among friends. It seems funny today. I don't know. Maybe it's Satan just coming down on us. But the Laodicean church, you say, yeah, they needed revival, preacher. You can't just say that they needed revival. We need revival. We need a stirring from a holy God today. So they have all things in common today, but I want you to keep looking. Not only are all things common, go back to our scripture today where we opened up and it said that if a man comes to you preaching another gospel, and here it is, but though we, in verse number 8, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. There is another gospel being preached. Brother Tim, that is the gospel of prosperity. Even as I told you that wealth and health and good tidings of great joy fall upon people, what it does, Brother Tim, it rocks them to sleep in the arms of grace. Brother Kenny, we don't think we need anything anymore. There's a prosperity gospel that's preached across this land today. Just do the best you can, Brother Greg. It'll be all right in the long run. God will sort it all out. Doing the best you can, Brother John, will cause you to open up your eyes in the devil's hell one day. The gospel has been cheapened. It has been. It's been cheapened. I told you a few Sundays ago that the gospel is free, but it is not cheap. It cost him everything, my dear friends. It cost him his life on Calvary. But society as a whole, in the late day church in large, having things in common, Brother Kenny, what they have done, they have cheapened the gospel. They do it a million ways. They spend money on things. They'll have fine facilities and cathedrals. Miss Mara and Preston went overseas, and you look at some of those ornate decoration. They went inside of some of these great cathedrals with painted ceilings, and they had gold tiles and gold paneling, and they had all these fine things. I bless God. God is not in all of that stuff, my friends. God is in the heart of man, and he's pricking the man's heart, trying to get himself to see how he really is. And people are low. We're sinners, and we need a Savior today. The gospel has been cheapened. You say, well, how in the world has it been cheapened? We got to come as you are, leave as you came kind of philosophy today. No standards in the house of God. We don't care how we look, how we dress, how we talk, how we act. Bless God, Brother Kenny brought it out in Sunday school. Everybody on his street knows that he's a Baptist preacher. Everybody on his street knows they're going to church sooner or later. And bless God, you start laying out a few times and you see what kind of a testimony you have among those that live on your street. That don't just work for Brother Kenny. That doesn't just work for Brother Scott. Everybody knows who you are, Brother Scott. They know that you're the choir leader over here. They know you call yourself a deacon of this church. And bless God, it's up to God to save us, but it's up to us to do what God says to do. He said that obedience is better than sacrifice. We ought to be obedient to him. We cheapen the gospel. Yeah, just do the best you can. There's no need to sacrifice. The days of sacrificing is over. Jesus was my sacrifice. Then I guess we just rip that verse out of the scripture where it said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a what? A living... Oh, just tear that verse out. No, we don't skip verses. Some of you won't sacrifice today. You got a picnic plan. I don't care if it's hell or high water come up against me. We're going to go to that picnic. I didn't know you was calling revival, preacher. I didn't know I was calling revival either. But God said, have one, so here we are. We spend money on treasures, money on pleasures. We spend it on everything. But don't ask me to put any money in that offering plate to support missions. Don't ask me to buy that little widow a meal. Don't ask me to do that, preacher. Don't ask me to spend any money on these poor children. Don't ask me to do all that. Man, we cheapen the gospel. There's things that we spend other than money. We spend time. We spend effort. You don't think that it takes something. Robbie and Tammy are at the beach right now. Who drove those vans today, Brother Robbie? It's a chore, is it not? At times it's a chore. I'm not sugarcoating it. It's a challenge. You get up earlier than anybody in the church, and you go out there, you start your run an hour and a half before the church service starts, and then you got some down there that had to get up a little bit early to go fix breakfast. But what they're doing, they're investing in what they believe is important. Some of you haven't cheapened the gospel, but at large, the late-day church has cheapened it. Brother Kenny, we cheapened it down there to where it's come as you will, if you want to come. It's all right. If you don't want to come, don't come. Preacher, I don't know what you've been eating. I think I've been eating sawbriars or something. Is the late-day church not confused? My goodness. So many Bibles. Just grab you one. They're all pretty much the same. No, they're not. Got so many churches. They're all the same. No, they're not. Got so many denominations, preacher. They're all the same. No, they're not. You can go in Wilkes County right now and find a church. I believe I'm against alcohol. The Bible says that wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whoever deceived by thereby is what? They're not wise. But you can go find one down the street and say, that's all right. Just don't get drunk. Just take it in moderation. Show me a man that ever took his first drink, brothers, and I'll show you the man, Brother John, that either needs deliverance or he's got problems going on in his life. Nobody ever laid the bottle down, got sober, got saved, and still continued driving impaired or beating his family or hurting, did he? No, he got saved by God's grace. He gave that stuff up. But in this latter-day church, man, we're confused. Why? Because the Lutherans say you can drink. Catholics say you can drink. This one says you can do that. This one says you can do that. Brother Kenny, we're confused. The late-day church is confused. Some of you think that when you die, you become an angel. You don't do that. We'll get through there. Some of you think that when you die, you go lay out here in the cemetery. Your body decomposes, you go back to the dust. You do. But bless God, you're composed of body, soul, and spirit. When you leave here, you're in the presence of Almighty God. This whole body's going back to where it come from. But bless God, I'm going to be with Jesus. This person you're looking at right now, you look at this earthly tabernacle, it'll be stretched out up here one of these days. You can pine for me and cry for me if you want to, but I'll be in the presence of Almighty God. Preacher, some said that if you just do the best you can and work your way in, it'll all sort itself out at the end. Go ahead and work your way in. Well, preacher, the Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Brother, take the totality of the scriptures and look at them. You must be born again, not of blood and of water, but of the Spirit of God. You must be born again, brother, by the Spirit. You got to be born again by the Spirit. Amen. Nicodemus and that conversation with Christ took care of that. Can I re-enter my mother's womb and be born again? Hey, he said, wait, you got to have a spiritual birth. We're confused. Preacher, these modern people telling us, the Oprahs and these other people's telling us that we're all going to one big place. And we're all on many roads that go to that same place. Our sign on both ends of these roads out here, they say all roads. What? Who said that? All roads lead to Calvary. It does not say that all roads lead you to heaven. Because all avenues don't lead you to heaven. The Bible said the way that goes to heaven is a straight way, Brother Kenny. And it's very narrow and few there be that find it. But the way which leads to destruction, it's a broad and beaten path. And many thereby are going that way. Then are those that are worshiping Muhammad, are they wrong? Are those that would worship Buddha, are they wrong? Those that would call Allah their God, are they wrong? Are those that call Jehovah unique? Are those that would trust Jesus Christ as the only way, are they unique? Bless God, there's a difference.
Oh, yes.
If you don't see the difference, bless God, there's a great big altar spread from wall to wall up here, and you need to be in it. Brother Scott, when we have a deacon's meeting, do we go in there and pray to Allah? We put our little prayer cloth, do we angle that toward Mecca or Medina? Do we do anything? Do we pay any homage to the gods of this one or that? No. Bless God, we go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We pray in Jesus' name. Preacher, unique in that you just think that there's one way to heaven? I believe John chapter 14, verse number 6 kind of took care of that. You said then you must believe that that Bible's the only truth and the only way to heaven. We can't use the Book of Mormon. We can't use the later scrolls or the earlier writings. We can't use anything but that. That's what he said. That's what God said. I didn't make that up. God did. Jesus didn't say I'm a way to heaven. He didn't say I am a truth or I am a life. He said I am the truth. I am the life. And he said I am the way. He's the only way. But the late day church is so confused, they think that whatever they want to do, whichever place they want to worship, whatever way they want to do, that all the texts kind of point to the same direction. It's not, my friends. It's not. The late day church is also this, and I'm going to close down here in just a few minutes. I'm going back to that passage in 11th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians. If he that cometh preaches another Jesus, how do you get another Jesus? Well, why did he say that he that preaches another Jesus? Why is that in there? He that preaches another Jesus. What he's saying is if you put something in the place of Christ, if you put something in there that then makes the Christ of the cross, the Christ of God, the third person of the Godhead. If you make him of none effect, Brother John, let that man that preaches that gospel, let him be accursed. Let that man be wrong. Look what it says. Any man that preaches another gospel, another Christ, another Jesus. I'm getting my two passages. For if he cometh, preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit and you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. That's what happens in the Latter-day Church. Confusion creeps in. And the last thing I want to hit is complacency. We sit back here. Our church is almost full every service, brother. And because she's almost full, you know what we have the ability to do, brother? We have the ability to sit back and become complacent. We just come back, brother, everything's good. Church is full, got money to bank, bought land, bought this, got this going on. Brother Danny, it'd be very easy for us to just sit back and say, we're doing great. We don't need anything else. Brother John, if there's not a soul saved every service, I'm saddened by that. You said you're saddened by it? Because I believe that there's somebody lost in every service. I really do. I believe somebody here today is confused about their doctrine. I believe somebody here today is confused about what it takes to get to heaven. I see some of your faces when you look at me, you stare at me. Some of you look around, you look out the window, you count ceiling tiles, you look at the pretty windows, you do all this, but you're doing everything that you can to not hear what the Holy Spirit's doing to your heart right now. He's saying, yeah, you followed other fables and you followed other devices, you followed other pathways, but they're going to lead you to a dead end. In the late day church, becoming so complacent, sits back and says, well, we're really in pretty good shape right now. Brother Kenny, you were all over it. That was an old preacher. God bless him. I don't know if it was a ego problem that he had or what. You said, you're throwing off on other men of God. I'll tell you, you tell me. Brother, every time I'd see him, I'd say, we had one saved today. Bless God, we had three. There was one of them odd services, Miss Cindy. I think we had 11. It was one of them. We never have that many. And I've got him this time. You see me at Bojangles, brother, right after 11 people get saved. Guess what I'm going to tell you? I'm going to tell you 11 people got saved today. I know you said you weren't a scorekeeper. And you done tore me up on that one. I'm sorry. But I said, we had 11 people saved today. So, bless God, we had 13. Team, you ain't going to win. But I'd like to see the late day church, the 2019 church. Brother John, I'd like to see her fall in love with Jesus. Brother Jody, when he opened up this morning, he's praying for himself. He's praying for his wife. He's praying for his kids. He's praying for his church. Why? Because he wants you. He wants you. He wants us. He's a deacon here. He has that ability to pray for his church. He wants you. I almost made you Jody's daughter. He wants you to fall so in love with Jesus. He wants us to fall so in love. Your daddy loves the Lord. Don't let anybody tell you that he does it. He loves Jesus. And you know that passion and that deep devotion that he has is born out of a sense of the way he was brought up and what he did earlier. To much that is forgiven. Think about it, huh? Much is required. Brother John, you're right there with me. He loves the Lord that much because of what he come out of. As we stand all over the house today, Miss Macy comes.